went to work for the TRW Corporation. I had a job winding capacitors. So I know how to unwind things just as well as wind them. So that's what God's looking for in your life and mine. Because he understands that the carnal mind begins to look at circumstances and shifts from faith to sight. And Satan wants you to do that. He wants you to shift from faith to sight. It's like, how are things looking? How are things going? And the precious thing about God is, and that's why I like that chorus, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. When you realize that, hey, the ship is battered, sails are torn, God's still God. Nothing's changed in my journey. Nothing's changed in your journey. That's what God does. And he does it well. So we don't always understand what he's doing to us, and that's the difficulty. If I spend time in the Word and asking, God, what's happening to me? Talk to me about what's happening. He'll tell you. He will tell you what's happening. I went into a time of Sabbath. God had talked to me since I was 12 years old. And in ways, even younger than that, but at 12 years old, he began to talk to me all the time. I never knew a week without God honestly speaking to me. Serious things, good things. And I moved to Nebraska, and he just shut the talking off. He told me to start keeping a Sabbath. And so I began to take 24 hours and do nothing but seek him and pray. I can tell you it makes a difference in your life. A lot of Christians have never spent 24 hours, honestly, before God. Never cleared the time to spend 24 hours. Our world is a busy world. God said, I want you to clear that time. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. That sounds like the law. He said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? A little bit like the law. But nevertheless, keep it. I knew it wasn't buying my salvation. I knew it had nothing to do with my salvation. But it did have to do with keeping power. Because resting in God sounds easy, but it's not so easy. Resting in God is not an easy thing. So he wanted me to come to that place that I understood it. But how do you explain when the heavens go brass? Do you know what it means? The old Pentecostals used that term. The heavens are brass. You pray and your prayers go up a little ways and then they hit that brass and bang down and all your words are falling around. It's like, well, the room's full of words, but I don't think they're getting through. If you haven't ever been there, and you have, I'm just kidding with you. You will go through that. But the thing is, heavens were brass. And I was just saying, God, I don't know what I did. Well, I moved from Colorado. See, I made a major decision because I felt he told me to move. And I had moved. And he bore witness that the move was right. But after I was there and the heavens went brass and my sense of prayer dwindled off. I was praying 6 hours a day and enjoying the hours. And now I would go out, there was still a little bunkhouse on the farm out there, the ranch, and I'd go out to the bunkhouse, and I'd tell myself, you're going to stay here 2 hours. You're going to pray 2 hours. You're not going to do this, oh, gee, I don't feel God thing. You're going to go in there, and you're going to pray. 4 minutes later, I've looked at my watch exactly 4 times. I now know what the length of a minute is in torture time. And I would pray, Jesus, Holy God, Blessed Savior, Loving Father, where are you, Lord? I was like God asking Adam, where are you? I didn't know what had happened. And I just kept telling him, look, if I disobeyed you leaving Colorado, you know I don't have enough money to get back. Isn't he wise? Because he knew I would have just thrown money into the tank and drove back to Colorado. Not my answer. But you think that's where he was talking to you last? Go back where he was talking to you last. That works in some circumstances. But he wanted me to come to the place that I understood rest in me. And I should have known that because he told me to keep the Sabbath. Now I'm not hearing from him. And man, that was torturing my mind. I didn't know time like that. I mean, I didn't know time like that. He said, I want you to rest in me. So I just told him, you know, God, I don't know what this is. I don't know what it is. But something is between me and you, and I don't know what that is. And I can't stand it. I don't want anything between us. I can't have something between you and me. I don't want you angry at me 1 minute, let alone weeks upon weeks. I just need you to show me. You show me, I'll fix it. If it's something I can fix, I'll fix it. And then I just felt like I'm praying. And God, listen, if I'm in a trial that you can't talk to me, and you want me to live on the fact you have talked to me, and I'm not shook because you're not talking to me. You've got a big bucket and you're digging pretty deep in the bucket when you're asking God. Now God, if you can't talk to me and you're doing something to me and you can't talk to me, and if that's what you're doing is you can't talk to me and you're just telling me because you did talk to me, you want me to begin to relax because you want me to know that you're there, even though you're not talking to me, if that's what you're doing, is the last thing on the bottom of the bucket, then I want you to help me with something. I had no guitar. I said, God, and I wasn't self-serving in this thing. It's like, God, the one thing I do know is that when I set and praise you and sing to you, he loves to have me sing to him. And he loves to have you sing to him. And if you tell me, oh, I don't have much of a voice, oh, you don't get how this works. Parental listening is different than everything else. It's the truth. You start singing to God, he will get you a contract with Never Dusty Records. I mean, they will cut your stuff. They'll take care of you, yeah? And he'll listen to it all the time. He'll tell the angel, shut up, shut up, shut up. Listening to him, it's like, Your Majesty, we don't really like country gospel. I mean, we actually like it. We're learning to like it. You get it. You know, you mess with God, you get sent on a mission you don't want. All right, you go ride with Gary Risley. No, Your Majesty, I love country music. There's some duty angels don't want. I said, if you can't talk to me, because you want me to live on the fact that I know you're real and you love me, and you want me to trust that, then I'd like to have you give me a guitar. Just, I'd like to have you, I don't know how this will be. I'm just asking you to help me get a guitar so I could sing. I missed that. I missed the playing. And I told you the story. I went to work at TRW Corporation, and these guys are sitting in the break room, and you know, you always listen to everybody in the break room. You never know when you're going to need something to tell other people. And this guy said, I got a guitar for $8 a month. And the other guy said, $8 a month? Is it, what is it? Does it have strings on it? And the guy said, no. He said, it's at Hirschberger's Music Store here in McCook. You can rent it for $8 a month. And he said, he just lets you pick whatever guitar you want. The guy said, I could go into, now I'm doing this with him. Yeah. This is like a ventriloquist. I'm using his mouth. It's like, you mean that I could go into, he said, well, you actually got to, oh, I thought, well, here we go, the deal. He said, well, you actually got to rent it for 3 months, $24. I have $24. The next morning was a cold October morning, drizzly. I went to Hirschberger's in McCook, and I have an old 51 Chevy one-ton truck, and I went in there and I picked out a guitar, and I just prayed, God, you pick me a guitar. Because not every guitar sounds the same. They have a sound. And I strummed this guitar, and it was like, wow. It's made by the Martin Company in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. And so I played that guitar. I was like, well, that, man, that is it's a beautiful acoustic guitar. And so I just took it over to the guy and I said, I'd like to rent this. He said, okay. He fills out a thing, $24, blah, 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 blah. I put that case in my truck, and as soon as I sat down, I realized, wow, I asked you. So this is the Sabbath. So you're telling me, trust me, just trust me. It's like, God, trusting you is, I thought it would be super easy, but when you don't talk, I think there's something wrong with me. So I can have my mind on something. I go into the house and I walk past Rachel twice. And she'll go, okay, what's wrong? What do you mean? Well, you're not talking. You have to talk. Am I right? When you go into a room where somebody's in there, I do that to my children. Hi, I tell them, good morning. And I want them to say, good morning, Daddy Ferris, best dad in the land. And they'll go, I'm soliciting verbal communication from you. This is like a call. Hello? Answer the phone. But you get that. If you walk past somebody, you get the feeling, wow, something's not right. Well, that's how I was feeling. I was feeling like I was walking past God and He wasn't listening. But you know, He knew that a lot of people in the world never had the upbringing I had, where He just kept me, sustained me, talked to me. And He wanted me to know, look, if that all stops, what are you going to do? It's like, well, I'm going to go to pieces first. I'm going to assume something's wrong with me. I'm going to feel like you have rejected me and that the heavens are brass because you're not going to listen to me anymore. I guess that's what's happening. And He said, guess again. You're in a Sabbath. You rest. You rest in my faithfulness. Rest in my love. Lean on me like that. You guys, that's what God does to you. He wants you to understand that He doesn't leave you because the heavens get brass. But the Bible said that our iniquities can separate us from God, and that's what I was concerned with first. I want to check. If there's something between me and you, God, I want you to tell me about it. Now, I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 and read a few verses. We've been here. Seems like about every week we're doing this. When I was reading it, I thought, well, good. This will be something that everybody's been through four Sundays in a row. Who doesn't love knowing what you're getting ready to talk about? Yeah? So this is like a pop quiz. So what am I going to read, Tom? Ooh, that's bad. No. Okay. Just wanting to see if everybody was going to enjoy the fact I picked on you, Dom. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is dealing with the churches of Galatia. Now, he's had great success. How God has moved wonderful, and a lot of people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Then he goes, because, you guys, the whole world was a battlefield. The whole world was a wide open place that nobody knew the name of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul understood the first person there gets to lay a foundation. If someone else lays a foundation that's not right, you'll have to tear out the wrong foundation. The devil is wise in what he's doing. Because he's talking about the Bible like nobody understands it, so most people avoid the Bible. And when you read the Bible, there's a lot you don't understand. Point is, the Spirit of God has a way through for me and you to understand it. Yeah? And a lot of times He will lead you to ministry that will teach you. I've gone in Bible bookstores. There aren't many anymore. If you can find a Bible bookstore in the United States, you know some place I don't know about. I mean, they're shutting them down all over this country. And the idea is, well, you know, you can buy them off the Internet. Except that you're finding that there's less and less King James Bibles. And lots of no foundation renditions of translations of things that came from the mind of man. Now those, everywhere. So in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul has been confronting the fact that someone came in and told these people that they had to be physically circumcised. Now, I've talked about this hundreds of times just recently, because I want you to know the difference between the law and the law of Christ. There's a law of liberty in Christ Jesus. The law of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So sin is what you were doing, and you met God on that battlefield of sin, and then He gave you an atonement time. And in the old covenant, you killed animals, and their blood paid the price. Yeah? So now what's happening is, the Apostle Paul comes and says, Christ died for you. And now we're going to operate not with that old law. So circumcision under the old law meant that was a picture you would allow God to cut your flesh off. It meant that you understood to come into the kingdom of God, you had to have your flesh cut off. Yeah? And you didn't do it. Your parent did it. Your father did it. And he had to be faithful to do it on the day God prescribed, because that was on the eighth day. And the great thing about circumcision was that it impacted you in a profound way. The success through it is contingent only on your personal commitment to Jesus Christ. That's how impacting circumcision is to a believer. Because what the Bible tells us in Philippians is that we are the circumcision. Paul said, listen, you're thinking that the Jewish people are the circumcision. I'm telling you that was a physical thing. That was in the flesh. And God in the Old Testament said, circumcise your hearts. Circumcise your heart. Well, that's a little bit difficult. You circumcise your heart, things could bleed. So what he was saying is, look, I'm talking about the inside of you. I'm talking about the spirit man. I'm talking about your heart. The heart of man is actually his brain. As much as the pumping thing works well, the brain is the heart of the issue, yeah? Because if I can deal with something in your heart, I can change you. In your mind. If I can get into your mind, I can change your mind. And so that's what was going on. So these people from Israel, these Jews, came in and told those people, Paul is wrong. Unless you're circumcised, even though you believe in Christ, you cannot be in the kingdom of God. That's a good point. Because it's a picture of the flesh being cut off. And what they didn't understand was the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary, our flesh, not just a little of our flesh, but all of our flesh was cut off. You actually died at Calvary. So God knew how to get rid of your flesh. He dealt with it in a death. Yeah? So, but you have to receive that by faith. Because you look at yourself and say, well, I look like I'm alive. Ow, that hurt. I must be alive. Thing that God's talking about is, the life I'm talking about is that spirit man inside of you. And the problem against it's your flesh. So the cross of Calvary, I paid for your sins and bought you. And I also cut off your flesh. No, it will do you no good that I did unless you yield yourself to it by faith. You have to yield yourself to it by faith. My flesh got cut off. It died. So, this is where we are in Galatians. In chapter 5, well, let me read with me real quick, real quick in Philippians. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That's Philippians 3:3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Listen. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. In other words, you have to have a spiritual connection with Him. You can't just say, I worship you, Father, I worship you, Father. You have to have a spiritual connection to Him. Honestly, a radio is a good example of that. A radio has to have a receiver that finds exact frequencies. Radio has to find the exact frequency. You can turn a radio on and have nothing come on except. But if you'll begin to turn it, you'll eventually find a frequency. Your radio has to have the frequency. Now, if you're looking for an AM station and your receiver's on FM, you won't receive an AM station. Am I right? So you have to actually have it. If you're looking for an FM station, you have to have it on FM, and then you have to have the numbers. Those numbers matter. And that's the way we walk and talk with God. It's the way we walk and talk with God. When you repent of your sins and invite Him in, that's the receiver. You're already a spirit being. But it doesn't give you the frequencies and the communication with God. So there's a lot of people that wander around and they've never understood that they honestly had to surrender. Because if you don't surrender and invite Him in, the receiver isn't there. And people around you be talking to God and they'll talk about God and they'll talk about God talking to them. And you think, I go to church, I'm a believer, I love God, but I didn't get that information. And so that's a clue. It's like, okay, here's my clue. I need that information. I don't have the receiver. Now, is that... That's easy, isn't it? That's just easy. So back when I was growing up, your car came with an AM radio. And if you wanted an FM, it cost you more money. An FM was a better station, only it was just a small transmission point. FM stations only go about from Kansas City to Topeka because they're straight line. AM stations are able to bounce off the ionosphere and come back down to your radio station. You can pick up Houston, Texas. You can pick up McCook, Nebraska. You can pick up all these AM stations at night. And that's why in our country, when it becomes night, all the AM stations had to lessen their power of broadcast. The people in Mexico kept their 50,000 watt channels. 50,000 watts. And you could be driving across the high plains of Nebraska at 11 o'clock at night and listen to David Terrell on XERF, Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico. Every 15 minutes, another preacher was on that station. And that's because those preachers all knew, you know what, when the sun goes down, these people start talking to the whole nation. You can pick them up in South Dakota. If you were in South Dakota.
Yeah.
See the difference? Man, what a broadcast thing. But here's the problem. If you have bad weather happens between you and the ionosphere.
Right.
So your signal goes up, gets all dawdled around in the lightning and stuff. And it hits the ionosphere and comes back down garbled. So in times of bad weather and stuff, and even sunspots, affected AM radios. So they said, okay, we've got to get off the AM thing. We'll go FM, which means we've got a different frequency broadcast, and it moves linear. Now, the problem is the earth is round, and linear broadcasts, unless your car is 4.5 miles high, stops somewhere out before you get to Salina.
Yeah.
Yes? So you get the difference. I've got to stay where that line of transmission is. Okay, you guys, God is a transmitter who talks. And the thing is, people have made it into a big thing, but the receiver is all you need. Now, what happens is your carnal mind thinks it's getting messages from God when it's getting messages from itself. And in the book of Hebrews, God solved that by saying that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut asunder between soul, which is your receiving station. You need it. God talks to your soul. Your receiving station and the spirit. So it knows the difference. So here's the thing. Am I receiving something from God through the spirit? Yes. Or am I just receiving soul messages? Am I thinking this stuff? Because you can think all kinds of religious thoughts, but you're not being transmitted to by God. So that's where you come back and you just say, okay, God, I need you transmitting to me. So, how do you know when you've invited Christ into your life? Even though He lives within me, now my troubles are not over. In a way, they're just beginning because I follow Him. In my suffering, He gives me the strength to carry on. In my weakness, He's perfected in a way that makes me strong. He's the way, truth, and life. Hope for you and me. He hath broken every chain and set this captive free. So that was just, I'm just helping you get through this next question because you've got to get this question right. How do you know you're serving Him? How do you know the transmission's in you? Things get rough in your life that you can't understand. Do you know why? Because the mind of God is moving you past your helpful thought process and its ascertaining of what it is you should do. So if you're a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee and somebody comes by and says, can I use your boat for a minute to preach? And you go, sure, okay, right, fine. I fished all night, but hey, look, you know, if you're a preacher, I'll let you preach. And then he says, hey, for a drought, if you want to catch a bunch of fish, put it in right here. Peter's going, man, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. You can't catch fish here. We're up on the shoal. We're up where the fish know there's no place to go. Boys with sticks that are sharp catch them here. He said, well, Lord, we've toiled all night. It's like I'm a fisherman. I'm just telling you. Jesus said, well, nevertheless, cast in here. He said, oh, okay, it's not my fault. And then your ship starts sinking. Something's changed in you because you got a message, and the message is, that couldn't be possible. What just happened to me is not possible. So the entrance of the acceptance comes from the fact that you believe He is. Amen. You have to believe that He is. Now listen, you say, well, I believe He is. I believe He is. Don't do that. This is what He says. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if there's a doubt pops in your mind that you may not believe He is, diligently seek Him. He will reward that. Do you get that? You can't miss Him. It's like if you're saying, I hope my gun is sighted in. He just says, well, listen, here's what I'm telling you. Diligently seek Me. I will fix your sights. And it's like, okay, boom, I got it. Wow, the sights are sighted in perfect. You can't miss God. Hey, listen, He understands that there are all kinds of problematic thoughts that come with the human mind. So He's just telling you, look, you got to believe that I am. Okay, I believe that you are. I'm pretty invisible, aren't I? I mean, no, not that invisible. Well, actually, I am invisible. You still believe me, right? You caught all those fish. Yeah, that's a good start. Now, life has to begin to evolve around His call to your life. And that starts causing a problem because you left all the boats and all the nets and everything because He's that real, yeah? And now you're moving out into this place where you're coming to the end of your resources, and now things are getting ready to change at home. Yeah? And when you get to that place that things are changing at home, you want something more concrete than believing that He is. Okay? So they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's what He says here. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. So we have a connection with this God. And we communicate with Him in this spirit communication that he communicates with. Yes? I just don't know about Him. I get His voice. I tune Him in. And when I tune Him in, something happens inside of me because the information is correct. When you're living on correct information and it guides you, that's the thing that the Spirit of God wants in your life because it is a living confirmation that the Spirit is inside of you. You feel it. But it also leads you, and when it gets you to where it says you should go, the things that it says will be there, will be there. And that's what He's teaching us. It's like, look, here's the thing. Trust Me to be that consistency. So He says this. You rejoice in Christ Jesus. You rejoice in Christ Jesus. So why does He go from worship God in the Spirit to rejoice in Christ Jesus? Because Jesus died to pay the price for your sins, and He promised to indwell you, yes? And why wouldn't you rejoice if the receiver is coming in? And He starts you brand new. You have no sin to deal with. Nothing of your sinful past haunts you at this moment. You're absolutely free. And who wouldn't rejoice in the fact that your punishment has been paid for? Ask anybody on death row. Ask any man or woman on death row in the prisons around the world. What if somebody paid the price for your incarceration and they were going to die your death? What would you do with that? You guys, there are men on death row that found Jesus Christ to be a reality who gave their life to Him, and they're not afraid of the consequences of their actions, and they are willing to step beyond this world because they understand, hey, I have eternity with Him. I'm shifting house to house. I'm moving out of this place. I'm moving in a way better place, and I'm going to be free. Yes? Rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then the third thing is have no confidence in the flesh. Now, you guys, serving God a religious way, what Adam and Eve got off the tree was the knowledge of good and evil. And what that meant is if the devil told them, if you just have that, you could be God-like. You mean your flesh could make you God-like because you obeyed it, because you had the knowledge of what was good and the knowledge of what was evil? What a lie. You were already made in the image of God. This is a lie because God said the day you eat of that, you die and you cannot eat of the tree of life anymore. You would trade the tree of life for death? So the knowledge of good and evil is how the church is operating. So this changes all of that criteria. And what it says is, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul the Apostle said, I had confidence in the flesh. I was born a Jew. Pity you guys. I was born in the seed of Abraham. And I was circumcised on the eighth day. And I was in the tribe of Benjamin. And if you don't know what that means, go back and read what happened to Israel. Because Judah had a friend. Judah had a friend. And God sanctified the tribe of Benjamin. Every man in Benjamin married a virgin. Every man in Benjamin married a virgin. And Paul said, I have a spouse, this church. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I have a spouse, this church, as a chaste virgin unto Christ. Where do your virgins come from? They come from a ministry that came from the reality of the New Testament. Yes? So you have to have confidence in Christ because you're not going to get there because Benjamin did it right. You're going to come there because the Spirit and presence of God has set you free, put that receiver inside of your mind, and now you've learned to have no confidence in your flesh doing all that stuff that Paul did. He said, listen, I was circumcised the eighth day, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. I was blameless. See, that's confidence in the flesh. Now, wait a minute. Then he isn't circumcised. Boop. If he's got confidence in the flesh, he's not circumcised. If he believes that he can keep the law and do the stuff in his flesh, he misunderstands. You have to have the receiver. You have to get the information from God. You can't walk a Christian walk without Him inside. And that's easy to do. We're going to do that before you leave here today. And going to church your whole life doesn't do it. Paul was in the Sanhedrin Council. Being born in the right pedigree ain't right. It ain't sufficient. That's why Paul said, let's change this idea here. So now we're back in Galatians chapter 5. Now listen to this. And I want to begin with verse 4. Paul says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. In other words, if you go back to have your circumcision physical, you're going back to an old covenant. That old covenant cut the skin off of your physical man. It had a temple that had the holiest of holies, which was symbolic of where God lived. God don't live in that little place, you guys. He is the Spirit that permeates it. But I got to tell you, you couldn't put all God in that little holiest of holies. So I want you to know that the temple was a type of something that was coming. And you want to know what the type is? It's Jesus and His disciples. They're the body of Christ. They're the temple. They are the temple. Jesus had teared down this temple. 3 days, I'll raise it back up. So you guys, you understand this. This transformation went from everything that was physical that you could understand. Jesus said a sower went to sow. Who doesn't get what sowing seed is? But He was talking spiritual things because He was talking about the Word of God. And when I talk to you, I'm sowing seed into your spirit man. Now, if it's stony soil, it will come up, but it won't last very long.
You can receive it with joy, but by persecution over what you learned will cause you to not want to be part of it. Yeah? So you realize that the seed sown has to land in fertile soil. That's what faith does. So that's what Paul is talking about in these things. So he said, I want you to know, Christ has become of no effect on you, whosoever you are, justified by the law you're following from grace. Because you can't just do circumcision. You have to bring a sacrificial animal to shed its blood for your sins. But the day Jesus died on Calvary, no other blood does the job. You get it? That covenant crashed to a close in the few hours from the trial to the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Yeah? That old covenant ceased to exist as it was because now God had the temple He always wanted, humanity. He had the Word that He always wanted. You're born again. Your sins are forgiven. Do you believe that? It's a faith thing. Come into this relationship. I'll come in and dwell in you. Now God could live in you because you're not filthy from sin. He couldn't live. God's righteousness couldn't move into your heart. No man's heart could have Him moving inside unless the sin was dealt with. So there were people He chose and He cleansed them. And then His Spirit could come upon them. Yes? And there were men that His Spirit came into in the Old Testament. But you guys, it was not a universal thing. That person had to be cleansed supernaturally by God. And what you and I understand is the chances of people doing it right is very slim, because when you look at Moses coming out of the wilderness, or coming out of Egypt and going into the wilderness, two men went into the promised land out of 5 billion. So you get that God says, you know what, your chances are really slim that you're going to believe. And that you'll have belief enough to take on the enemy. So that's where we're at right now. So this is what He's telling us. So if you trust in those physical things, and it's easy to trust in physical things, you guys. People love to trust in physical things. If somebody tells you that you have to wear long sleeves, you buy a bunch of long sleeve shirts, and you know what you feel? You feel like you've got the job done. Yes. Because you can see it. Wow, I got on my long sleeve shirt. That ain't it. So I want that communication from me to you to tell you what to do. Now listen to what He said. For we through the Spirit, I'm in verse 5 of Galatians 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So when did you get your righteousness? When you gave your life to Christ and He came to live inside you and washed your sins away? No. Or you wouldn't have said it like that. For we through the Spirit wait. Am I right? For the hope of righteousness by faith. So you see, we think we got the whole thing. That's what's confusing to people. Is we think, well, I got born again. He washed my sins away. Now I have His Spirit dwelling in me. So I'm righteous too. Righteousness comes by faith. And what does that mean? It means I believe that He just told me stop doing what I'm doing. Why? I have a receiver. And I have confidence that if I will obey what God tells me, these things will begin to work inside of me. Do I believe I can come to that place of perfection that He said in Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect? You think you got that when Jesus died at Calvary? No. You start out moving towards that because that's your goal. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget everything behind me and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And God knows how to bring you to that place that His Spirit does that in you. So you are moving towards the direction that says God is changing us all the time. And so I'm waiting by faith for that righteousness. I have a hope of that righteousness coming to reality in my life. But I know when the voice of God tells me to do something, I can't ignore the voice. I can't ignore the voice. You know why? Because if He tells me to go to a different place than I intended to go, I miss the point. one of the first people that my dad met that the Spirit of God led them. He was working or going to Brown Mackey School of Business in Denver. He's taking some classes. And he's on his way, and the Lord tells him, go up these stairs right now and go to an apartment up there that I show you. Pray for a man. I want you to pray for somebody. And he tells the Lord, I will. I'm late for class. As soon as I come back, I will. When he comes back, there's an ambulance out in front. There's two. The man had taken his own life. They were bringing a body down from exactly where God told him to go. And I'll tell you what to do. You know what he learned? Faith. Faith about what I'm to do at this particular moment. I have requirements that hold me to an accountability to be in that class, but God can get me through all that stuff. So, when I was visiting my friend that got shot, God told me they were going to do surgery the next day in the middle of the day. Scheduled surgery. He'd been in there 9 months. In intensive care, 9 months. And I worked at Stapleton International Airport. I was a dispatcher on the flight line. Had a really good job. And the Lord told me, when I got home, it was about midnight, and the Lord told me, go back in the morning at 6. Well, I was supposed to work 6, so I called my boss. I said, in the morning, about 5:30, I said, listen, I have a friend in the hospital, and he is really, has been injured, he's been shot, and I'm going to go down to the hospital with him this morning. He's going to have surgery. And the man, his name is Dale Kinney, and Dale told me, he said, okay, here's my deal. Yeah, all right, okay, sure, yeah, you go to the hospital. And he said, I'll tell you what, in fact, you don't even have to come in today during the day. He said, we need a cleanup guy in the cafeteria and kitchens at night when they close to scrub the floor, clean the tables, and set up the dishwashing. So he said, you come in, you'll need a different uniform because, of course, you're going to be scrubbing floors. I said, all right, I'll see you then at what time? He tells me in the evening. When I got to the hospital, a nurse came walking down the corridor that had seen me visiting Jerry, and she said, if your church has last rites, give them to him. She said, we're taking him to surgery right now. I said, I thought surgery was going to... She said, no. He's bleeding. He won't be alive then. She said, if you give last rites in your church, give him the last rites. He's the same age I am. I headed down that hallway, and you guys, I understood that God had me there because I didn't know even where he was. God led me to him in the hospital like he did to the guy in jail. Now, I'm here at this place, and I'm there because God told me to come in at 6 in the morning. So you know what I know? I know I'm on an appointment. Yeah. Do you think I'm racked with doubt? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Would I trade my dispatch job for cleaning the floors and scrubbing the cafeteria? Oh, yes, I would. Oh, yes, I would. It meant nothing to me to change that stuff. But you guys, I understood. When I prayed for that kid that morning, and he'd been 9 months in intensive care, I wasn't even there the first 8 months. I had just recently found him. And I went to where he was at, and they let me in the room. And everybody's busy prepping him. Getting him ready for emergency surgery. And I just took him by the hand. And I knew that I knew. If God sent me that morning at 6 o'clock, nothing was going to let God down. Because God knew there was a connection necessary for this kid to live. And I'm in the right spot at the right time. And I would not have been except the voice of God. That's what the voice of God is about. It's how the church operates. So we worship God in the Spirit because He is a communicator with us, and we understand that our relationship is a relationship in the Spirit that we do not possess until we invite Him in. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price, and He is my indwelling, yes? And He's going to fix those things in me. He's the potter. I'm the clay, yeah? And I have no confidence in the flesh pleasing Him. So I quit this nonsense of me achieving what it is that I think He wants me to achieve. It's not what He's telling me. So He says this. For we through the Spirit, I'm back at verse 5, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Wow. Now, okay, here's our deal. When Paul puts those two things together, faith that works by love, do you know what he's telling us? This thing's going to need a non-quitting engine. This thing ain't going to die in the middle of an intersection while a fire truck is moving at you at 65 miles an hour, unable to stop on a ring slick road. You're not going to be in the middle of that intersection. This thing works through faith by love. Okay, love. Why would you say love? I'll tell you why. Because love never fails. It's like, Paul, why do you do this to me? This looked like it was just a swimming pool. But the longer you talk, I'm seeing great whites. And I'm not talking about me and my swimming shorts. I'm talking about big fish that eat people. Do you get how this thing led you down through this criteria? And now you're the place that said, listen to me. Something is telling me that I have an adversary that wants to stop me. And God won't let me stop. So, listen. My sense of love does this. My sense of love owns me. Don't kid yourself. Your sense of love owns you. And what God said is, I want you to love me more than houses and land, mothers and fathers, children. I want you to love me more than anything in the world. You think, why would you tell me that? Faith by love. It's like, yeah, but there's some things we think, well, God, I'm pretty good about all that stuff. And then something happens and you think, that ain't right. And you cry in buckets of tears. Yes? Yeah. And you're telling yourself, something's not right in this. And God said, you love me. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. But if you loved me, I wouldn't be going through this thing. He said, oh, sure you are. Because I'm getting you to the end of you doing things in your flesh. You have confidence in your flesh. I don't. Yes, you do. That's why we're in this conflict right now. Because your flesh is screaming because you have something going on you don't like. You have something going on you don't like. Now listen, the Spirit and presence of God is telling you, the reason I'm putting you through this tough stuff is because I know I have to get rid of you trusting in your flesh. And it isn't until the ship is battered and the sails are torn that you're falling on your knees. So listen to me carefully. You think I'm going to leave you in a destructive place because you don't know what you do and how to get there? Oh, no, 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 no. Do you think I'm just going to embark you into something that will begin to change you, ready or not, here I come? No. I mean, yes. 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 Because you guys, the disasters that met humanity were little things like leaven. Leaven. God told Israel when they came out of Egypt, he said, I don't want any leaven in your house. Leaven is understanding that was not part of the original. Anything interjected. Leaven is interjected. And it brings fermentation. It's alive. It bubbles up. Another word for it is zeal. Israel had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You can bubble all you want. And rejecting the righteousness of God, Romans chapter 10, and rejecting the righteousness of God went about to establish their own righteousness. They were after what? Righteousness. Oh, wait a minute, that comes by faith. Wow, I didn't get that when I got the deal. Righteousness comes by how I live, by faith, about the things that are going on. And that's why we learn to say, it's well with my soul. God, these things that are going on are problematic to my mind. I mean, they're problematic to my very being. I feel torn and crushed and dismantled. But I've chosen to live for you. Living for you is the right thing. Living for you is the right thing. So he said this. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's. I'm back in Galatians 5. Was I over there in Philippians with you? Okay, but last one here is a ninny. Now listen to what he says. Oh, and you can look at all this stuff. Verse 18 says, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. You think your flesh isn't going to lust against the spirit? Yes, your flesh will lust against the spirit. And if you give your flesh to the lust of that spirit inside of you, when you step into eternity, listen to me carefully. The rich man and Lazarus both stepped into eternity and they were as they were. No sores, not infirm, but they were both exactly what they were. We think that when you die and you go into eternity, you're altogether different. Listen to me. If you're peaceless, if you find yourself peaceless, and you decide you're going to medicate yourself with pharmaceuticals or illegal drugs or something because you're going to find peace, when you die, you will bring with your soul that agonizing, peaceless spirit of yourself. If you need to drink to go to sleep, you're going to step into eternity with that same agonizing demand. I can't sleep without it. Listen to me. The rich man had no water because he wouldn't give water. You understand that? He would not give water. He had the ability to give. He would not give water. So when he steps into eternity, the one thing that the Spirit of God kept dealing with him about is get the man some water. But you see, the difference about the Spirit is I don't listen. I'm self-sufficient. I'm wealthy. I can get by with this stuff. He's at my gate. I didn't invite him there. But when he stepped into eternity, he took with him the thing that God was holding at his account. So listen, if you think you can trust in stuff, you see what you trade? You step into eternity, you are going to feel that same despair that comes on you when you can't quite pull things together in your life. Faith, righteousness by faith. Our claims, you guys, that the Spirit and presence of God didn't lead us on an issue. What he's talking about here is, I led you. And what you want to do is pay attention to what he's leading us on. Now listen. So he said in verse 25, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Man, you see what happens? If your affection is toward the things of the world, like the rich man was, you end up going into eternity, but your longing to have the peace that wealth brings you is gone. You enter into it in that sense of poverty that says, I have to have these things to make me feel okay. Because you don't want to enter into eternity lost, because your mindset takes with it the stuff you wouldn't let God change in your life. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Listen, if you're not Christ's, you haven't circumcised your flesh. You haven't crucified your flesh. So you're not His. Don't kid yourself. You don't belong to God, not one iota. Your last breath will show you into hell. That's just the way it works. This is how serious this stuff is. If you don't have a receiver that talks to you from God, you can pretend like it's just okay. I go along with the religious stuff. Listen, it ain't about going along with religious stuff. You are going to step into eternity one of these days. And when you do, you will face a God that knows how you arrived. And so you want the Spirit of God to talk to you. And it will correct you on the issues that need to be corrected. It will correct you on that stuff. It will tell you what's going on. And if you yield yourself and tell yourself, well, I'm just a weak person. I just give in to stuff. That's baloney. Because the Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Listen, do you get what crucified the flesh means? Crucified your own flesh? A wise man does that. So you guys, Christianity isn't about did you attend church and everything went well with the church and the preacher likes you and shakes your hand and that kind of stuff. That ain't it. You're serving a real God that sent His Son to die on the cross and paid a terrible price for your salvation. If you dawdle it away because it didn't mean anything to you, His Son didn't mean anything to you, His terrible crucifixion on the cross didn't mean anything to you, it doesn't change what you want to be in life, it doesn't even condemn the sin in your life, are you kidding me? You guys, that's the thing that God's talking about. Because the receiver will condemn sin in the flesh. The voice and Spirit of God will condemn sin in the flesh. So He said this. If we walk... Well, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Man, you want those two things crucified. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk that way. Walk in it. Keep doing it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Wow, you guys. What God's talking to you and me is an astounding thing about victory. He's called us into this place that says, look, I have provisions for you. And I want you to come to be righteous by making righteous choices. Let me tell what your choice is, yes? You guys, we can make up our own line about righteousness. Okay, I'm going to do this and then I'll be righteous. No. Do what God's telling you. In every single circumstance, yes? So if God tells you, look, go upstairs and talk to the guy. You tell yourself, yeah, okay. That's what God's after. He's after you and me, being led by the Spirit of God, because we have to do that very thing. I want you to go back with me real, real quick. I just want to read a couple of things over here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And you know these verses well. Is anybody in here cool? I mean, it's hard to tell. It's cool outside and we have the air conditioner on. After that hot summer, we're still carrying the heat. Okay. We're just rejoicing that we can say we're cold. Okay, so I'm going to go to Luke chapter 12. And he talks to us in rapid fire about these things that are things that we wouldn't understand about our walk with God in the Spirit. Chapter 12 starts this way and says, the people are all together so much that they're trotting on one another, the Bible says. That's a big crowd. A big crowd. And so, and he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, I'm now in verse 1 reading down to 2. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven. That little thing that gets introduced as part of its teaching. You think, well, hypocrisy is not a teaching. It is if the Pharisees are doing it among themselves and you get integrated into that group, you're going to do what the Pharisees are doing. And if they are filled with hypocrisy on how they talk, you'll get filled with it. Because they talk one way among themselves and in private. Sounds like, never mind. Chapter 2 said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Wow. So your life and mine, Jesus said, listen, just understand this. I'm going to reveal everything at the judgment bar. And so you're going to watch yourself doing and saying things that you wish you didn't actually have to watch. So it's going to be revealed. Okay. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So you can see how he's talking about this hypocrisy, this leaven begins to permeate the whole group. If one person does it and everybody thinks, wow, he does it, so I'm going to do it. What you want is the Spirit and presence of God to separate you from That's what's wrong. And you know what does that? The voice of God. That receiver tells you, stop. These guys are wrong. Now listen. And I say unto you, my friends, verse 4, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after have no more that they can do. Now listen, this is one of the most precious things that Jesus told us. Don't be afraid of those people who can kill your physical body. And there's a whole lot of that going on in the world, yeah? A whole lot of threat about that going on in the world. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Well, he can kill and he can cast into hell? Well, see, Jesus is afraid to discuss openly the sense of why we listen to the receiver. Why do we listen to the voice? Because you guys, it will avoid all this stuff. None of this stuff will happen in your life. Listen, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? We love that verse. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Man, this is one of our song verses. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now look, also I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Confessing doesn't mean you talk about Jesus in front of people. You guys, there are some wicked people talk about Jesus. But the thing is that I have to bear witness of who he is. So he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Denies me. Listen, how your actions are either stand for him or against him. And you can say, oh, I talked to him about Jesus. But they look at your life and there's nothing in your life that's serving God. You want God to touch your life so that it does do that. Yeah? Now listen. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You can talk against me, he says. But unto him that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now listen to the explanation he gives us about that. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. See, Jesus understands that what he tells you, you have to read in the Word or hear him speak. These people are all hearing him speak. But if the Holy Ghost is in you, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say all your life. So that's what he's telling you. Look, you can blaspheme me because you don't have a close connection with me like him. You know of me and you talk about a relationship with me, but my spirit dwells inside you. And when you need an answer, it'll give you an answer. You guys, how could you blaspheme the voice that will give you the right answers? See, how will you blaspheme the Spirit of God that gives you the right answers? You drag it away from you. Oh, what a tragedy that would be. Now listen. Now I want to read this next one. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. The abundance of a man's life doesn't come from what he possesses. So you guys, you can see how the flesh doesn't see it that way. This is not a flesh view. Jesus is turning these things around and looking at it through a microscope, and he's telling you this stuff is right to the carnal mind, it's not right to God. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I'll say to my soul, You have much fruit laid up for many years. Take thine ease. You never want to tell your soul, take your ease. You never want to tell your soul, take your ease. You can relax. You don't need to be heads up paying attention to what's going on.
Relax. You know why? We got all the stuff that will take care of us. Our barns are full. We can sell stuff for years. Our finances are well taken care of. Just relax. Soul, just relax. Everything's going to be all right. We have things, our goods are laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Feed yourself the things that would bring you to a place of continual ease and joy. Life can be boring unless you eat, drink, and have frivolity. Yeah? Wow. So you guys, here's what Jesus said. But God said unto them, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You see how the voice has to talk to us? Because you guys, God blesses people. I'm not saying God don't bless you. But if you think that's your peace, if you think that's the way that you're going to be all right, you guys, that's the thing that becomes a disaster. That's not what's going to make you all right. That relationship with God's what's going to make you all right. And what you want to do is have the Spirit of the Lord tell you, okay, leave your stuff. So if you owned a beautiful home in Berlin and you were Jewish, and the early 1930s finds all kinds of tumult in the country, and your other friends are selling their houses a dime on the dollar, and some even just left them and walked away. But you just can't. You just can't leave your stuff. Jesus said, if you're on the housetop, you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, don't come down to take things out of your house. He said, if you're in the field, you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, don't come down. Take stuff out of your house. Or don't go back to take stuff out of your house. Listen, we're in an hour that Jerusalem's surrounded by armies. New Jerusalem, she's surrounded by armies. She's got enemies on every hand. The church has got enemies on every hand. And the persecution against the Christian church is going to escalate. So, a Jewish man who I knew, Art Katz, super educated guy. God did a miracle in his life, won him to Christ. And he came here to the church. I was down in Honduras. And he told everybody here that Jews needed a place to hide. And he was going all over the United States telling Christians and Christian churches, you need to prepare a place. Get a barn. Get something that nobody can tell how many people you've got inside of it. And prepare to take Jews in. Because he said that persecution that was then is going to rise again. I came back and I told this church, well, actually, I got to talk to Art. Because Christians are going to be persecuted, and Jews are going to have to hide us. And I got to go and tell him that. So, you guys, here's our thing. The Spirit and presence of God says, look, here's what I'm telling you. You can lean on me, but get the stuff out that would make you lean on the flesh. And you can tell whether the flesh is still there percolating. Get that receiver from God. Because if the devil's telling you, you can live any way you want, do anything you want, and you're going to be all right, you're not going to be all right. And you're going to step into hell surprised. Because you guys, the thing about life is that it is an if thing. Life is an if thing. And what you want is to have the Spirit and presence of God to direct your path. There was a young man came here. And he was brought by some woman that had gone to the church years ago. And he moved in with Jeff and John. And they dealt with him about God. And he was one of those people that blustered Christians. You know, he talked, God talked, knew a bunch of verses. He just was like, and right away you could tell, man, there's no substance in this thing at all. He doesn't have a receiving station. He doesn't know anything about the things about real God. And we just kept talking. They just kept talking. It's just, you know what? And eventually he began to come to a realization, wow, all that talk didn't fool us. There's a real God, and you can really serve him. He left here just a young man. Went back to another city in Kansas here. And he was crossing a street at night. Died instantly. He died instantly. You guys, listen, God sent him here for a final word. And what God was saying is, you know what?
And then his dad told the brothers that went down to the funeral. He changed. This kid changed. He's not the same kid that left here. He said, I'm glad he went where you were at. So you guys listen to me. Here's the thing. You can come and leave because the water was shed off you because you were wearing a waterproof jacket. Or you can come here and soak up the things of God and leave here never to be the same again. And the thing is, it's a personal choice. I can't make it for you and no one else will make it for you. And if you're playing with God, you realize that playing with God is the most dangerous thing you could do, so none of us are going to do that. We agree on that. Let's stand together. We're not going to play with God. And so I want the Spirit of God. I don't care what the impetus was behind you coming to church this morning. I believe God had a message for every one of us that says you don't have to leave here the same way you came in here. But you guys, it is going to be a commitment to Christ, because what we want is, if you want that prize, if you want to run after Him and let that righteousness come to you by faith, that ability to lean on Him and trust. It's like, you know what? Today I'm learning to invite Him in. I need the reception of His voice. I need His Spirit to lead me. I need the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. I want Him to change me. I want Him to talk to me. I want Him to show me what's going on in my life. I'm not going to leave here like I came. Because I believe this message this morning was God's Spirit and presence telling us, look, examine yourself. And if you don't have the reception from heaven, get it. Don't leave here without it. If you come in and you're just struggling with serving God, you have not given yourself over to Him. When you give yourself over to God, listen to me. It's like Esther. When she gave herself to the king, she came into that place that was the blessing of her life, the blessing of her people, the keeping of God's divine plan for humanity. That woman stepped into a place that no one else could have stepped into except her. And God blessed everything about her. And she didn't become a concubine. She became the queen. And you guys, what God's talking about is you and I want that Spirit of His presence. So we examine ourselves. You know why? Because you have a crown to win. You look at the book of Revelations and the Spirit of God said, you have a crown. And he told the church at Philadelphia, I think, don't let anybody steal your crown. So you see, what happens is there are things that come against us and we think, you know, I just won't. Oh. Oh, you can't. Don't swing your crown on your finger. It's a valuable thing. You want to keep that crown. It's about eternity. And you want to be crowned. And what the Spirit and presence of God is bringing us to today is, hey, look, here's the thing. Don't let something steal your crown. Those people, he said at Philadelphia, listen, I've made it so you would escape the tribulation that's coming on. I've made it so you're going to escape. Listen to me. If God's telling you, you're getting ready to escape the tribulation that's coming on. But don't let somebody steal your crown. Then I would figure that thing out. Wow, that's a blessing. Are you telling me that you're going to help me escape the tribulation that's coming on the world? Yes. But the devil's trying to steal my crown? No. You and I have something to have a say on. And that's what the Spirit of God is telling me and you. So you guys, you can bring that sense of judgment to yourselves this morning. God wants you to leave here renewed, rebirthed, and understanding what it is that you need for the criteria to come to that place of conclusion and to live a life saved from sin. Not because He washed you once, but because He infiltrated your thinking and His Spirit just keeps getting you past all the sin. And that righteousness comes by faith. You know why? Because you believe if I obey Him, I have the power to obey Him. If I obey Him by faith, if I believe that He's going to do all this in me, then He's going to give me the power to do it. If you believe, you've got the power to do anything in your life this morning. We're going to take a moment or two and pray. We want the Spirit and presence of God to bring us to that conclusion that says, I didn't come here by chance today. And I'm not going to leave here until I've made a decision for Jesus Christ. Yes? And we're going to pray collectively for the people that we know are struggling. Yeah, outside the church, there are people that we know the Spirit and presence of God has to do something to bring them into that place that they're ready to receive. I want to receive it. You want to receive it. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know the voice, let's get it. Lord, in Your name, God, we agree that Your Spirit and presence is in this place. And God, You have called us all together. And I believe we're in the presence of you and that we are being brought an ultimatum, God, to receive from you. This instruction is so precious. God, to have you make it so clear and give us such a guidance in these things. God, we are empowered by faith. Faith. Our faith says no obstacle will be too high. Our faith says no river will be too wide. Our faith says the desert isn't hot enough to keep us from going through it. God, our faith says you're the great provider. And Lord, you have won these battles for us, but we have to listen to you because, God, you are getting out of us those things that you know the enemy would bring the highest amount of resistance against you in us. Anyone in this place this morning that has wrestled with that high point of resistance, break it out. God, break it out of us. God, you're a healing God, a delivering God, and you're a Savior God. Break out of anybody in this place a resistance over things that we're going through or have gone through or afraid to go through. Break it, God. Lord, you're the way through these places. And what I pray is that your Spirit would come into every person's life with this understanding. These difficult things you go through turn you away from leaning on your flesh, because you cannot carry the burdens of these things on your own. Your flesh will be vexed and tormented, and ultimately it will turn against me in accusation. And when it turns against me in accusation, the enemy is manipulating you to move you away from me. Now, God, I'm praying for every heart in this place to be receptive. I'm praying for faith. I am praying for faith to come on every person. God, I pray that no one's faith will fail. God, I believe we're in an eternity moment this morning. And I'm praying that you would bring all of us through every boast of Satan to that final place where your conviction runs so strong we cannot override it. God, where your correction becomes chastisement. And if chastisement's not enough, to scourging. God, bring us through. You're the faithful Father. And God, we want to be brought to that place of victory because, God, we got faith that if you're doing things to us, you're doing it for our good. And Lord, we realize that your Spirit and presence has to be that thought process because the flesh will never think these things are good. But we want you to bring us through it in victory. And God, I pray that no one will leave here without this opportunity to bow their knee and surrender. God, I pray that no one will leave this place addicted. God, I rebuke the spirit of addiction. I don't want anyone to enter into eternity, tormented for eternity by the peaceless longing for some peace. When this morning peace is offered free, God, your indwelling brings peace. Your indwelling brings peace. God, I pray that people will not resist. God, this is the most precious transition we can make. God, bring us through it victoriously. God, I pray it in your name. And God, I pray that nobody would pass this by. God, that this day, before this day is over at midnight, God, that there would be real business done continuously from this moment till that moment. And then let those decisions rest. God, let the decisions rest. Receive it. That's what the decision is. And God, build upon that foundation that every person brings to you. God, in your name we pray. Nobody lost, nobody condemned, nobody damned. God, by your Spirit we pray these things. And by faith we receive it. In your name we ask. Amen and amen. All right. Lord bless you. Go in peace and we will see you Wednesday night. Lord willing.